Good morning, everybody. I'm going to call the meeting to order. That was fun. I'm just kidding. Call the meeting to order. Thank you all for being here and for making the time in your schedule in the middle of the day to come to what I think is important meetings on a monthly basis to talk about human relations in Orange County, both from the goodwill perspective and from the less than goodwill perspective that we have going on in our county. Just a word, I think I sent an email about a month or so ago about the PBS special on hate that was done. And it's a national program. I think it was it Frontline? I don't even remember. It was Frontline, yeah. And Orange County is heavily featured in it, and it is just gives us really good insight into the issues of hate and the origins of hate, and I think there's one or two more coming out. Just as sitting on the commission, I think it is really almost imperative that each of us take an hour or two to watch it. I can send you the link again. You can just upload it. How many actually saw it? Did anybody watch it? Okay, so it's really, really worth watching. Ma'am.
Chair, do you mind if I comment on that?
Please, please.
So just since you mentioned it, last night at United Congregation Church, they hosted a panel discussion where that video was shown, and Don was there along with other stakeholders in the community, and they asked us, being that it was hosted in Irvine, to provide an Irvine member of our department, and I had a council meeting, but I sent a senior member of my staff, and so The police department was also on the panel, and so I understand. I got a report out from Commander Kent that it was a productive discussion and well received. So, just want to acknowledge also that the Orange County Human Relations Commission had a role in that panel, that event last night as well.
Thank you.
Item number two: overview of monthly summary of commission activities.
Okay, for fiscal year 18-19, commission activity matrix is as follows. For monthly meeting, we've had one to date. The goal is 12, 8% reached. Our annual report goal is one, and to date, we haven't done any. Police community reconciliation cases, the goal is 20, and to date is three, with 15% reached. Community police meetings, goal is four. We've done one, that's 25%. Chiefs advisory boards and sheriff's interfaith council meetings, it's eight, and we've done two so far with 25% met. Community outreach and relationship building meetings, our goal is 40. We've done nine at 23%. Police diverse community dialogue, goal is two. Year to date is zero. Hate crime report networking meetings, goal is one, and we've done one, that's 100%. Support to hate crime victims is eight, and we've done three at 38%. Outreach efforts, it's 10, and year to date we've done one at 10%. Community training on intergroup relations topic, goal is four. And we've done one so far at 25%. Our annual award program goal is one. We haven't done one yet. And participate in community-based outreach symposiums goal is two. And we haven't done any so far. In the category of police community relations, with Santa Ana PD, commission staff began the first series of police community dialogue with the Santa Ana PD at the PAAL Center in Santa Ana. A total of 45 residents attended the first meeting. Police Community Reconciliation Program. Commission staff assessed and referred one PCRP case for Fountain Valley. Intergroup Relations and Relationship Building category. For community support and outreaches and presentation, commission staff attended Tustin PD National Night Out and hosted a table with information on commission programs and work. Commission attended a Huntington Beach community event to observe and offer commission resources to those present. Commission staff facilitated two assessment sessions to address concerns in both Jewish and Muslim communities to determine next steps in bringing groups together for in-depth dialogue. Hate-free OC campaign. Commission staff participated in CAHRO monthly conference call to plan for upcoming conference in November. Commission director one-on-one. Commission director met with three OC residents interested in commission program and work. And on August 30th, commission director met with County of Orange Community Services Director to discuss commission contract. Capacity building and training. Implicit bias. Commission director conducted an implicit bias workshop for 10 people at a recent basic mediation training. And that's the report for this month.
Thank you so much. Any of the staff want to comment on any of those? Don, can you give us a little update on the Fountain Valley situation, or is that?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
On the matrix that is up towards the top and it has a percentage of the goal that is met, I noticed it's for fiscal year 18 through 19. How far into the fiscal year are we?
Our contract started in July. So it's July 2018 to June 2019.
Just some insight, Don, on the kind of case we're dealing with.
So we got a request coming in for a PCRP case, and it's from a resident in Fountain Valley. So what the person wanted was to file a formal complaint against one of the Fountain Valley PD police officer. So what I did was I refer him to go to the police front desk and seek that formal complaint and file that so that they could file it internally. If there's a possibility for mediation, then the internal affair could contact us.
I see.
For that opportunity.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next is open forum. And I have not received any requests.
Anybody in the public want to share? Nope. Okay.
Okay. Item number three, review and approve redline draft of commission bylaws.
Okay. In seems like for the last 3 years we've been in this process, but for those of you who are new, last summer we did 8 full hours in 2 sessions to look at our bylaws, our mission, and really put a lot of effort into it. Went to the Board of Supervisors. We're working under that refined bylaws amendments. And then in meetings with Chairman Doe and in other conversations, we thought it could use even more amending. And so that brings us to today. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to review it, but I think it'll be easier instead of doing the summary if we actually look at the redline copy. Norma.
Yes, so I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page about what we're doing here and the background. So as some of you might have remembered, Chairman Doe called on me and I met with them and OC Community Resources about some of the to discuss maybe the scope of work and the mission itself of the commission. And one of the things that he suggested was the commission to look at the bylaws and maybe suggest some revisions that they'd like to see to help the commission run business and do business. So Rabbi Steinberg and Dr. Carrie Reynolds were appointed as the ad hoc to review these. So they met, they reviewed them, and what you have in front of you are the suggested revisions that they discussed and wanted to bring to you. Just want to make clear, be reminded that these are only suggestions that were submitted, that we're submitting to Chairman Doe for consideration, and this is per his request. So in order for any changes to happen, whether it's presented by Chairman Doe, it really has to come to a vote at the Board of Supervisors and be approved by the Board of Supervisors. So this is just a response to his request, but any changes would have to go through different channels and processes in order to get there. So I just wanted to clarify that before we move forward.
No, thank you so much. So on page 7 of the packet, bylaws of the Orange County Human Relations Commission, and I'll just walk through the places where there are emendations. Article 4, the end, instead of attempt to eliminate, we are putting in and suggesting fight against those causes. That is, the causes of tension, conflict, discrimination, so forth and so on. Attempt to eliminate might be too tall a task for this commission, but certainly to fight against is sort of what we are in the business of doing. Any comments on that? Okay. Article 5, this was just a language issue, updating language. Instead of handicap, disability, instead of sex, we use gender, and trying to keep it consistent. Article 6 and A, we took out the line to investigate because this commission does not investigate. We report. Moving on to the next page. Article 7, number F. This is important and it's probably worth our discussion. Any commissioner who fails to attend 3 consecutive scheduled meetings or over half of the regular meetings in a fiscal year with or without prior notification to the chair or the director shall automatically vacate the position. What was happening is people were missing a number of meetings, but since we didn't have a quorum, they were not counted as meetings, so you didn't get dinged. And you will never be dinged if you miss a meeting because you're absent and caused us not to have a quorum. So the fact if you can't come that and you don't notify anybody, that will be cause to vacate because, as I've said a number of times now, really the only responsibility of being on the commission is showing up to the commission meetings. And so are there questions about this one? Thoughts?
I do want to add a note. Just recently I met with Renee Ramirez, and she mentioned that we will no longer be polling for attendance, and we will be showing up to meetings, and we will figure out if we have a quorum here at the dais. If we don't have a quorum, we're still having a meeting, only that it'll be informational. The commission won't be able to take any action, but it will still be able to review and go through other agenda items and presentations that might have been scheduled for that month, and it'll still be counted as a meeting. Am I correct? Okay, I just wanted to put that out there, that we will no longer cancel meetings. Yay.
Jamie.
I had a quick question where it says the shall automatically vacate the position of the commission. Should it say something along that we would make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisor for the commission to resign? I don't know if we would have the authority.
That's original language in the bylaws.
Oh.
Okay. The only things that were changed is what struck out. So the shall automatically vacate the position of the commissioner, that's original to the bylaws and was already there.
Yeah, but even if it's already there, I don't know if this bylaw is for, it's from us, right? Or is it from the county?
It's from the county.
By the Board
okay,
of
so, yes. okay, oh, okay.
I think we're covered.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah. Excellent. Chief.
I'll just say that I would support that language change.
The one that's listed here or what Janie said?
No, what's listed here.
Okay, good. Thank you. Article 8, number 3, in the last revision, there aren't really standing committees per se, not an executive committee or a nominating committee, but the chair has the right to nominate or establish ad hoc committees. Article 9, number C, we deleted Article C, and that is because the executive director is no longer responsible for the agenda posting nor minute taking. Clerk of the board has taken over that responsibility. And so it's really the clerk of the board to make sure that we are obeying the Brown Law provisions. The executive director shall be responsible to the commission for all program duties and supervision of commission staff. And we wanted it in there because it's a responsibility that Norma or the director holds. And so we want it in writing that that is so. And if I'm not mistaken, Norma, the Board of Supervisors ultimately hires and fires the director, but you hire and fire your staff.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Any questions about that? Number 11, Article 11, the commission shall hold 10 meetings in a fiscal year. In doing some research in the rest of the state of California, we found out that oftentimes commissions only meet 10 times a year, and so maybe we can look at attendance and see when the months are that we have the worst attendance and can cancel those meetings or just pick 10 things, and we should probably have a calendar out that says when we're meeting and when we're not. Just to pause for a second, Norm and I have a meeting with Chairman Doe in a week and a half, 2 weeks, on the 27th of this month to discuss these bylaw changes and particularly to discuss the time and place of our meetings. Given we've had such attendance issues, that maybe we can reconsider looking at that. Yes, ma'am.
And so, can I ask a specific question?
Sure.
Will you be asking them to revisit the decision to relocate from our prior location and hopefully move back there?
So, okay. As I mentioned before, I had an opportunity to meet with Renee recently, and there was a big discussion around this about what I've heard from commissioners in terms of our meeting location and our time and how challenging that has been. And one of the things that I was informed is that there is a possibility to be able to change the meeting time, but it is not very likely that we would be able to meet after working hours, because that would mean that the clerk of the board would need to be present, and that's beyond their work in hour pay, and that the county would have to pay overtime for them to be present. So I think that the conversation can still continue and bring that up, but it was something that came back to me just recently in terms of meeting time.
Well, back there.
Yeah. One of the problems that we may not be able to attend our meetings is because of the timing, and I don't mind about location. This morning, I had a whole day meeting. While Supervisor Michelle was speaking in the meeting this morning, I drove this way. And then I had to go back there, and they're waiting for me. So I had to assign somebody to help me to represent me. So that will make it easy for us if we do it after work. So that.
Well, I would just add, you know, it's not just for our convenience. I just think for the public and the people who would want to come speak, mm-hmm. Doing it after working hours is a really compelling reason. And so while maybe the chances aren't good, it's certainly something that will be raised, and maybe it's worth overtime. And I know our clerks love spending time with us. So, I mean, no matter what hour it is. So we will see. And to that point on Section 11, continuing on A, we're deleting, if a room is available at the time the meeting is scheduled, regular meetings will be held. We approved this change in October 2007, which changed our meeting location. But eliminating the sentence would allow the commission to set a different time and place, as opposed to being written into the bylaws. We're giving ourselves a little flexibility here. Okay? This is one we discussed, I know, with respect to the goodwill and with OCCR on Article 12, Section C, Number 3, approval expenditure of a solicited funds on a commission program. Adding solicited only clarifies that if the commission does get monetary donations, it's within their purview to approve the expenditures of the funds received. Just it makes things just even more clear. Letter E, the commission shall have no authority to accept gifts or donations on behalf of the county unless it's approved through the commission marketing plan, which goes through OCCR, and that I guess is ultimately approved by some higher authority. So again, giving us a more flexibility. And then, of course, at the very end, adding the line that these were amended on October 30th, 2017, just so we have that notation. We should probably, if this goes to the next level, we should add the next emendation as well. Before we take a vote, I do want to thank Dr. Carrie Reynolds for taking the time to walk through this with me and Norman. We literally went through every single word, and it was a lengthy conversation, but I think a worthwhile one. Questions, comments? Commissioner Janey.
Yeah. I appreciate everything that you guys done, going through the bylaws and cleaning up the bylaw language. It's not an easy task. And so picking up all the new updated languages, and, you know, it's important that our bylaws are current, so I appreciate the time and effort that you guys put in.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion.
Yes.
Second.
Can I second? Are you... Motion for what? Don't you have to say what the motion is?
Make a motion to present this to the Board of Supervisors as a draft document for changes to the bylaws.
Second.
Chairman Doe.
Yes. And seconded by Beckerle. Any discussion? Carrie? Did you have... Okay.
No.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Unanimously passes. Thank you all very much. I think we're on a good track here.
Okay. Item number four, discuss and approve commissioner visits to city councils in Orange County.
Take it away.
As some of you may know that we used to do this about 3 years ago, that we go to different cities and present the report to the cities on the city board meetings. So sometimes we have not done that, and then I mentioned on our last meeting that we needed to start all over again, even though the council is doing. Our part is how we can communicate with the city mayors and the council members about the giving report to the cities, because we are representing the human relations in Orange County. We needed to give them some information what we're doing, as you see here, and we have some discussions that we did last time, and the process for this city council visit would be as follows. If it is approved, a commissioner will be assigned to review and track the commissioner's visits. A commissioner will have standing agenda item to check in with commissioners on sign-ups and the documents scheduled completed presentation dates. All commissioners must participate. Each commissioner must conduct at least 3 city council visits in the fiscal year. So that is the proposed item that we needed to discuss, and there is an attachment what city we needed to visit, who is going to visit which city. So this is for a discussion. I will leave the chair to run this.
I would just say that this is great on two levels. One, it just is an important thing to do, because the hate crime report, the Goodwill Committee, whatever it might be, to put out there to the public. And secondly, being able to explain what the commission does and who we are in front of the elected officials of each city in our county is essential to our work. I mean, if we're going to do our work well, it's going to have to be because we're in a relationship with these cities and these government bodies. So important. Norma. So
I'd just like to add that we keep present and understand that the council, the Human Relations Council, the nonprofit side, continues to do these council visits where they share the annual report. They share program impact.
The hate crime report, or
no?
Their annual
report. They share impact program numbers, which, you know, the council holds the contract for the commission, so they do share some of the program impact numbers that we offer, and also present some of the cities with a certificate of a thank you. So I think the discussion would not only be about the commission embarking on this, but then how is it that we might strategize around those presentations? Because then you have two human relations entities going to one city council meeting at different times throughout the year, which might cause some confusion So kind of discuss that, discuss whether there's a strategy that we might be able to embark with the council. So it's not two different meetings that might cause some type of confusion in the city council meetings about who's here, why you're here, what are you sharing. So I wanted to put that out there so we're well aware that the council's doing this. And they have stopped in the last 2 months because they're working on their annual report, but they'll be restarting those visits soon.
Can I comment on that? So just coincidentally last night at our council meeting, Gupri, who of course is a member of the council, came and presented and talked about hate crime and pretty much did this, what's in the memo here. And so I would agree with Norma that of course there's been a lot of efforts in the past year or so to distinguish more between the commission and the council. I do agree that it might be wise to collaborate with the council in these presentations, and I'm not sure if separate presentations are necessary per se, but I do agree that we need to be consistent on an annual basis of either or in conjunction with the council going to the different cities to share the mission and the successes of the overarching mission of both the council and commission, and how also both can serve the individual cities, or do serve the individual cities.
Carrie?
I'd like to add that I also believe these reports are very important. They're interesting and they're informative for the public, and a lot of the city council members did not even know much about the Human Relations Commission. It's a way of informing city council members what's going on too. I'd like to add also that I hope someday we will be not only distributing an annual hate crimes report, but we'll be distributing a goodwill report as well.
You know, I think we have to be very careful not to confuse the two. We've worked very hard at distinguishing the two, and so maybe a first step is to talk with the council and its leadership and think if they might present in a different way than at a city council meeting, or for us to reevaluate that. But I think to present at the same time, we would start walking into the same issues that we had before, A, and B, if we were going to coordinate, perhaps we would coordinate on a six-month rotating basis, that the council would do one, and then 6 months later we would do another, and each have language that says, this is what the council does, this is what the commission does, and just as an annual sort of reminder. Michael?
I think that's a very good idea. I think maybe we should also consider taking this idea to the board of supervisors to see if they think that this is a good idea or a bad idea in view of their expressed desire that we make sure there is a bright line distinction between the council and the commission, rather than move forward and then find out that we have created displeasure.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think that, I mean, we're having the discussion now, and I think that whether we go to council meetings or not, the board I don't think would care. It's whether we're confusing the issue by doing it with the council or in addition to the council. So, I mean, before we go to the board, I think we should probably talk with the council and see how strongly they feel about this and whatnot. Maybe we could just take over that role to talk about commission work. I just don't know the answer to that. I mean, I don't know. Allie, if you want to comment or do it offline. Please, for those of you who don't know Allison Edwards, come on forward. Yes, ma'am. Allison Edwards.
Yeah, don't hide in the dark there.
She is the CEO of the council that holds the contract for the commission through the county, through the OCCAR, through the, I don't know how many other organizations there. So. Allie, what's your thinking?
You didn't bring the org chart for reference? Nice to see all of you. Norma and I have briefly discussed this, and one of the things that we thought our leadership might do was actually make reference to this entity and say, you know, in a few months or in 6 months, you'll see our our colleagues from the Human Relations Commission come to give you information on this scope, whatever you should determine, if it's the goodwill report and the hate crime report, and that we will then have sort of a complementary scope that we would offer to the councils. But that's based on just sort of a first draft, if mm-hmm. you will. But we thought rather than maybe in addition to maybe a timeline separation, cross-referencing so they realize that, oh, they talked about that group. They talked about, okay, we understand that they are different because, as some of you know from experience, a one-time explanation of our relationship is often not enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Please.
Sorry. Ali, as you know that we have been doing this a long time ago, and most of us represent the cities. Would it be possible, as the chief said, that if we collaborate and plan to speak this area and this area so that we can go together the same time, the same day, if that's a possibility? Is that a fair question to ask the council?
I would happily bring that to them. Kind of depending on, I guess it might be easier for you all to determine what your preference is, and that we could bring that to our board for consideration. I think they're a pretty affable group. They're pretty easy. So you have more, limitations in terms of how quickly you can move forward an idea, et cetera. So rather than try and do a lot of back and forth, perhaps we would defer to what works for the commission. It happens that our meetings are on the same day. So I will meet with them tonight, and we'll update them on sort of some of the ideas that you shared in your meeting today.
Yes, I mean, the Board of Supervisors could not have been more clear, though, Bekele, that they do not want collusion. No, I'm just kidding. Confusion, that's the word I'm looking for, between what the commission does and what the council does. So going together, it makes all the sense in the world to do, except for that one piece.
The other thing that I can offer is, having kind of taken notes of the discussion, and then even Renee being here today, she's the person we go to around this contract, Community Services Department Director?
Emma?
Okay.
Director of the Community Services Department for the County of Orange, which consists of veterans, seniors, workforce, and now the...
Thank you for being here.
So what I was going to offer is that I can bring this back to her and have a conversation around the historical background in terms of the visits in the past and then what's being discussed now, and maybe figuring out, based on our contract, what does that look like and whether it does fit and it's something that we can move forward on, or if we have to look at alternatives. How does that sound?
It's an option. Chief, you wanted to say?
Just in regard to the question of the timing of if we're going to do both council and commission reports to or presentations to city councils, I respect what you're saying, Chair Steinberg. I might argue that if there's a way that both the council and commission could present on the same night, that might actually be an opportunity to better define and distinguish the missions between the council and commission. Because if you have them separated by 6 months, people will have a hard time remembering exactly what was said 6 months ago in the mission of the council versus commission. It might actually serve to be cleaner by doing it on the same night. Just want to throw it out there for discussion. I think you can make an argument either way.
That's a really good point. Carrie?
I agree. I think there's a good argument to be made either way, but I might also add that it will probably be more difficult to get two people together on the same night from two different entities. We have hard enough time getting the program, getting it planned with the city council on a certain night when they don't have too much on their agenda and so forth. At least I found that true the last time I went. I had a hard time picking a month because their agendas were so full. And then if we add to that we need two other people that can be there on that same night, it might be a little more complicated.
I think this is something we could ask the staff to help with organizing as well. and it requires calling the clerk of the council to get on the agenda and to get early on the agenda. I mean, there's lots of different little tricks we can use to do that, but I think that's going to be an important piece, is some staff help.
In the past, also, if for some reason a commissioner or another presenter wasn't able to go, staff makes themselves available to do that presentation. Whether it's a last minute cancellation, like I can't show up, or even if we're having a difficult time scheduling someone, you have three staff members that support this commission. So
the only other thing I want to ask, and Chief, this is relevant to you, but maybe to others, is all commissioners must participate. I mean, and Janie, maybe for you, I mean, would you go to your own city from who you work and be able to present? Is that a conflict of interest? I'm just sensitive to people's positions and want to...
Yeah, I would probably err on not doing a presentation in the city that I work, you know, so...
Okay. Chief, what about for you?
I have thought about that, and I'd probably be in the same position. Mm-hmm. But I think so long as, like, for instance, I live in the city of Lake Forest, so if I were to hypothetically go there, so long as I'm, you know, clearly not there in my capacity as chief and I'm making it known that I'm acting as a commissioner, then I think it'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to be protective. Okay. Any other comments? Yes, Carrie.
This is on the subject, but not directly related to what we're talking about now. I found, at least in Newport Beach, I don't know what the experiences were in the other cities, but in Newport Beach, the city council was extremely impressed that a commissioner had come out and spent an evening there with them. And several people came up afterwards and acknowledged that. They were very impressed that commissioners had taken their time out of the day to greet them and tell them about the program.
Yeah, it makes an impact for sure. So, looks like there's a few things to clean up with regards to this, but the idea is certainly relevant. So, perhaps we should table it for a month and allow Norma to speak with our director from OCCR and or some OCCS services.
So moved.
So second to tabling it for a month?
Second.
Eckler seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? So we'll table it until next month. And Norma, you'll have an opportunity to meet with the director and comment back to us on all those relevant issues. Beckley, thank you for raising it. I think there is a lot of wisdom to going to the cities, being conscious of Board of Supervisors' requests and also our desire to get our name out there and balancing those.
Yeah, I would like to ask Norma to include me in her discussions because I would like to add some more information to assist you on this.
Excellent. Make that happen. Sure.
Okay. Item number 5, review and approve commission officer nomination process.
Okay. So on page 14 of 23, we're a little bit behind, I think because of the lack of quorum and some other things. So I just want to review this with everybody and then set it in motion. As per the bylaws, the commission goes through a nominating process to elect a chair and a vice chair. Is that still in the bylaws?
That is
yes, to, for a one-year term. In the recent past, election of commission officers has happened in the month of June to allow officers to be installed at the beginning of the fiscal year. The following nominating process for commission officers maintained fidelity to the commission bylaws and the Brown Act. So as I said, we're a couple months behind here, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. At the August commission meeting, and we will, if it's approved now, it'll begin now, but then next August we will do it. The commission recommends 3 members for the nominating committee. The commission then approves the chair recommendations or alternative members. The nominating committee meets one time before the commission September meeting, October. So this moves forward. Any commissioners who are interested in serving or would like to nominate someone for consideration are asked to send this information to the commission executive director before the end of, it would be September, right?
I have a time here, yeah.
Right, the commission director will provide this list to nominating committee for consideration at the October committee meeting, the nominating committee present their selected nominees and open the floor for additional nominations. The commission will take a vote on each officer, and the nominee with the highest number of votes will be the new officer starting in November 2018.
So I just wanted to add, I was looking at the calendar, and our timeline for to put this in process is really short until our next commission meeting. So my thought was that the call for nominations would be sent out in an email by Friday, by tomorrow, to all the commissioners. Then the commissioners will have a week to email me back by the 21st their nomination for chair and vice chair. Then at that point, for those who will get appointed to the ad hoc committee, I'll make sure that we set a meeting so they're able to review it and have a slate for votes at our next meeting, which is October 11th. So,
but commission has to approve the chair recommendations for the people on the committee.
That's tonight. That's right now.
I'm
that's
doing
today.
That right now.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have a question.
Yes, Begala.
Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to think that one term instead of being 1 year to make it 2 years? Is that possible? Because it is going to help the leaders who are going to be selected and elected in the position will have enough time to lead properly, because the first year may not be productive as much as it is. The second year will give us more.
Are you talking about office? Oh, I'm sorry. Just a point of clarification. Are you suggesting that members of the nominating committee serve 2 years, or that officers serve 2 years?
Officers.
Okay.
And for that to happen, that would have to be a specific change to the bylaws. In the bylaws, it states that the chair and vice chair would serve for 1 year terms and limited to 2 consecutive terms. So if that's a discussion point, or that's a consideration that the commission would like, a suggestion that the commission would like to make, then that would have to be part of our revised bylaws that is submitted for a change.
So let's come back to that in a second.
Okay.
And let's deal with the nominating committee first and then come back to that, because it's a very interesting point. So how do you want to do this? We need an ad hoc committee.
We need the nominating
committee. We need a nominating committee. So might some of our newer commissioners like to be on? Michelle, would you like to serve on the nominating committee? And Jamie?
Sure.
Excellent, excellent. And Chief, do you want to?
Sure.
Okay, so those are the three that I am proposing. Anybody else? Comments, questions? Is there a vote to accept those committee members?
So moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
Second, okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Nominating committee consists of Commissioner Michelle, Janie, and Chief Hamill. Excellent. Sorry. Let's go back to Beckley now. Do we want to revisit the bylaws? Should we just mention that to Chairman Doe in discussion as sort of something to consider? Or do we need to take another vote?
I think that when you're meeting with them, it might be a good idea to say, hey, you know, this is something that we may consider. Is it something that you would be on board? Because 2 years, I don't know how long the appointment of the commission is 2 years, right? So if you're like on an off year, you may have to vacate your chairman if you're chairman or vice chairman if you're not reappointed.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there might be some conflict with that. And I think that's why it's on a yearly basis. So I think we kind of need to be a little bit sensitive to the terms as well.
Yeah. That
Norma and then Carrie.
So for protocol and process, if the commission considers that once they want to make this revision or suggest them a revision, it has to go on the document and it has to get voted on.
Okay. Carrie.
I'd just like to confirm what Janie just said. I think the reasoning for that 1 year is the rotation of commissioners. It makes a lot of sense. And I'd like to add that if we keep it the way it is, there's no reason the same chair and co-chair couldn't be reelected to a second term. It doesn't negate the idea that the same people could be serving for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. Okay. So let's not take a vote, and let's just keep it as part of a conversation that is certainly interesting to explore and can raise it with the chairman, but then it would have to come back for a vote here. Okay.
I agree.
Okay, next item. Resilience OC Organization Overview and Truth Act Bill by Anna Ramirez-Zarate.
Good. Anna, welcome. Glad you're here at the commission, and the floor is yours.
Okay, let me move this a little back. Okay, so I'm Ana Ramirez. I am here representing Resilience Orange County. And basically, like, the whole purpose of why I'm even here is to talk about the Truth Act bill and also why it's important to hold a Truth Act forum. So just a little bit about Resilience OC. Resilience OC, the mission of it is to promote resilient youth.
Did you have a PowerPoint? I'm sorry.
No, I don't. I actually just have notes. Yeah.
Got it.
So the mission of ROC is to promote resilient youth that engage in critical work of building youth-oriented institutions in Orange County. So having this in mind, ROC is part of a bigger coalition of organizations that make up the Orange County Rapid Response Network. And so you might be questioning yourself, like, what is the Orange County Rapid Response Network? And what it is, it's pretty much a collective of nonprofits, grassroots orgs, civil rights attorneys, law school clinics, and individuals working together to fight against or respond to ICE enforcement actions, and also to respond to anti-immigrant policies. And so if I may mention some of the partners that we have is the ACLU of Southern California, we have the Public Law Center, Western State School of Law, the UCI Immigrant Rights Clinic, and so that's just a few of the community partners that work within this collective of the Orange County Rapid Response. So as that collective, we have been working on pushing forth a Truth Act community forum. And so a little bit of a background in terms of why even is this necessary, right? I want to speak to some of the policies and laws that have been sort of put into place to make sure that immigrant folks, whether they are undocumented or not, have rights. So one of the legislation that was passed or signed in 2016 was the Truth Act bill, which is AB 2792. And this bill, what it essentially does, it was signed on September of 2016 by Governor Brown. And what it does is it provides vital Know Your Rights information to folks that are in immigration detention. And so it brings a lot of transparency in terms of what's happening with regards to immigration enforcement. And it just, like, as I mentioned earlier, it provides Know Your Rights information to folks that are in detention. So having said that, the Truth Act bill itself, it stands for Transparent Review of Unjust Transfers and Holds Act. And so that's a bill itself, right? Another piece of legislation that I want to speak to is the California Values Act, which is SB 54. And what that essentially does, it limits the collaboration between local law enforcement agencies and ICE. And so it pretty much leaves federal law to be enforced by the federal government and not necessarily by the state. So it limits the collaboration between local law enforcement and federal immigration enforcement. And also it limits local agencies from using city, county money, or personnel, for that matter, to investigate, interrogate, detain, or arrest any community members for immigration matters. And over this law, SB 54 became a law in January of 2018. So the Truth Act, as well as the California Values Act, have just been recent legislation passed here in California. And all of it, right, as I mentioned earlier, is to protect and ensure that folks, whether they are documented or undocumented, have rights. And as some of you may know, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution ensures and provides protection and due process to folks regardless of their immigration status. So I do want to mention that. And then I also want to mention, right, the fact that limiting the collaboration between local law enforcement and ICE is at the very center of this legislation. One of the things that I do want to highlight is the fact that over the course of years, the Orange County Sheriff's Department has been on the side of enforcing federal immigration law, which obviously is limited by the California Values Act. And when the California Values Act passed, no longer could you have the Orange County Sheriff's Department sharing information with ICE, such as sharing release dates of folks when they're going to be released. But then again, they found sort of like a way of going around that. And one of those things was that they started posting release dates. So even though they could no longer communicate with ICE and sharing information, they just started posting release dates, which also makes it a way of not necessarily directly sharing information, but it's in an indirect way. So I just want to mention that and how the Sheriff's Department has been in regards to immigration. Something else that I do want to mention, and I'm super happy that y'all began talking about, right, like the documentary and how the PBS documentary and how it highlighted the Orange County sort of like anti-immigrant or like hate in OC. Orange County in itself has a long history of being anti-immigrant. And obviously that doesn't mean that it doesn't have the possibility of changing, right? But OC was one of the last counties in the state of California to get rid of 287G program. And I don't know how many folks are familiar with that, but pretty much what this program did, it deputized local law enforcement to act as federal immigration agents. And so you create, by enforcing these type of legislation that is very anti-immigrant, you create a lot of distress, right, between community members. When they want to report a crime or they just, you know, are fearful, it creates a distrust between local law enforcement and folks in general in the community. So I do want to mention that and how it's rooted in the history of Orange County. And something else that I want to mention is obviously bringing it back to the Truth Act bill and the Truth Act forum, right? As I mentioned earlier, the Truth Act bill brings a lot of transparency to who is transferred to ICE, under what circumstances, and sort of like what was the process of transferring an individual from either detention to ICE. But let me go back to my notes really quickly. So it brings transparency to the process, and it also, as I mentioned, provides vital Know Your Rights information to folks. So having that in mind, the bill itself, as I mentioned, is a transparent review of unjust transfers and holds. Let me collect my thoughts. So the bill was passed or signed into effect in 2016. January of 2018, which is this year, all local governing bodies of every county throughout the state of California have to make sure that they provide the space to hold the Truth Act Community Forum. And why the reason behind doing this is to make sure that if there was any access to any local jails or by ICE, we want to know, the community wants to know, what kind of access did ICE have, you know, in the city of Santa Ana or like in the city of Fullerton in the county jail. So we want to bring transparency to the issue. And as of right now, probably since the month of June, I have been coming to the Board of Supervisors meeting, making a public comment saying, you know, this is what needs to happen. It's mandated by law. And as of right now, I still haven't heard anything back from the Board of Supervisors saying that they're moving this item forward. And so I do want to bring attention to the fact that this forum is mandated by law. And it begins this year that every county has to host it in the state of California. So it's not just limited to Orange County. And after this year, it's just going to continue. So every year, any local governing body or any county that provided access to ICE into their jails has to host this forum. So having said this, the Board of Supervisors, as a local governing body of the county, is the one that has to take the step forward, and they haven't yet. And so I'm just like a little bit concerned and want to ask all of you if there's any pressure that you can put on the Board of Supervisors to ensure that this happens. And if so, if there's anything that I could possibly do to make sure that, you know, I engage in conversations with all of you to make sure that this is moved forward.
Thank you very much for the information and for your thoughts and for the education as well.
Mm-hmm.
Questions, comments from our commissioners to Anna? Michael.
Do you have a copy of the Truth Act that you can provide for us to look at?
I don't have it with me at the moment, but I can pass around what I have on my notes, if that's okay.
You can
with
send
all
it
of
to
you.
Norma, and Norma okay. can send it to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
I
really
can go
helpful.
Ahead and do that.
Anybody else? I just have one question.
Yeah.
I just want to make a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Between an undocumented person who is detained because of their undocumented status and an undocumented person who is detained because they've committed a crime in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So sharing release dates of somebody who is a criminal, whether they're documented or not documented, does the Truth Act cover that? Is that what... You're saying
that's why I wanted to see a copy
yeah.
of the law.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you just clarify that a little bit, the distinction between an undocumented person who's coming here to be free mm-hmm. and an undocumented person who's coming here and is not obeying by the laws as mm-hmm. provided in the Constitution?
Other than the act of entering the country illegally.
Fair point. But.
Yeah, no, as it is, the release dates that have been posted is essentially of any individual that's undocumented, and even those that aren't, they're just posting release dates. So one story that I can briefly share with y'all, if that's okay, is probably a few months back, a person that was also in detention, I believe, at the Olesi or the music facility, I can't recall which one, they were victims of sex trafficking, right? So they were in detention, and after they were in detention, the Orange County Sheriff's Department posted their release date. And so by the time that they came out of the jail, the person who had trafficked them as a sex worker was waiting for them outside. And so I just want to highlight the fact that it is so counter, like the public safety, I feel like it's a little bit hypocritical in that sense. And that instead of like actually providing safety for the community, it's endangering.
Wouldn't
anything.
It be better then for the Sheriff's Department to actually communicate with ICE rather than letting it be publicly known so that, I mean, if they're communicating with ICE, presumably ICE isn't the sex trafficker.
No.
Right? So that woman would actually have been safer if the Orange County Sheriff's Department had been allowed to communicate with ICE rather than just posting it generally for the bad guys to find out when she was being released.
I don't think, honestly, that there's, like, anyone better because we're talking about the livelihood of a person. So I think that regardless of whether someone is undocumented or not, like,
you're not
protection.
You're not contending that ICE would be complicit in sex trafficking.
No, I'm not saying that.
So she would be better off to have been picked up by ICE than to have been.
I don't know about that. Just because ICE, it's not, so I don't think they're the good guys.
Clearly, that's the way I understand. I think what will be helpful to us, given your mm-hmm. request, is if you provide us with the Truth Act, and then the commission can read it over the next month and discuss mm-hmm. it among themselves, provided your request.
So. And can I just to be clear, as between a sex trafficker and ICE, you don't see one as being better than the other? I just want to explore on your comment there about
yeah.
the ICE not being the good guys.
I do not want to answer that question. Thank you.
Okay.
I have one question too. I'd just like mm-hmm. to distinguish something that you said.
Yeah.
I may have heard you wrong, but I think you said that the Orange County had been anti-immigrant, had a history of being anti-immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
I just question the accuracy of that. Mm-hmm. I've lived here a long time, and I'm not sure that the county has been anti-immigrant as much as more recently anti-illegal immigrant or undocumented immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
I think the county 30, 40 years ago welcomed immigrants who came here through the proper channels. So I'm just not sure that's totally accurate.
No.
I just wanted to make that distinction.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So from my understanding, Anna, you'll send me the Truth Act bill, a copy of it. Yeah. I'll send it out to commissioners, but specific to your ask, mm-hmm. The ask is to see how the commission might support the...
The ask is the government of the county in compliance with the Truth Act.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Item number 7, Executive Director's Report. Marketing Plan Draft Review. B is Save the Date 2017 Hate Crimes Report Update and Launch. And C is Ad Hoc Committees Update Goodwill Program.
That's me.
Yeah.
All right. So in your packet, if you look at page 15, we've been talking about this for several months now, and it's part of our bylaws. So this is the first time that the commission would put out a marketing plan. And I'd work closely with Thea, who's no longer with Community Resources, but I work really closely with her to ensure that whatever we put together was aligned with what county process does and what they submit to the Board of Supervisors as a marketing plan to be approved. So what you have in front of you is a draft of a marketing plan for the commission. What this essentially is, it sets a protocol and process for the commission in terms of accepting donations and soliciting donations. So if you look at the document, there's a table there, and it really is broad enough, and it looks at two different categories, something that's community initiated, which means someone comes to us and say, hey, we want to give you some goods, or, you know, we want to offer you printing services. This would be the community coming to us and offering something. So if you look at this document, it says if it comes from that, there's three different areas that those funds or that donation would come from, either corporate, local businesses, or individual gifts. So for each of those, there's specific process that the commission has to take, or steps it has to take before those donations are accepted. And that's what this does. When you look at the third column in terms of the needs and requests, it's broad enough that we're able to accept funds all the way to just maybe printing promotional products or any in-kind donations. The second category is where the commission goes out and solicits donations. And again, it takes those three areas, or two areas, sorry, the community and business donor or sponsorships, to going out to individual donors or supporters to donate something per se, like for the Goodwill Committee, if we want to give out plaques, then we would be able to do that. So when you look at this, what we would need to do is make sure that everybody's in agreement to this, and then this is submitted to Community Services, because then they would have to put it together to get submitted to the Board of Supervisors for approval. The moment that it gets approved, then it gives the commission the power, and now we have process to get donations that are specific to what's in the marketing plan. Any questions?
Nope.
So I'm not sure, they don't need to vote on this, right? Because it's part of our bylaws and contract?
Well, it's definitely not written on the agenda to vote on today, so.
Right, but I don't know. I just want to clarify, because I know that part of it was, there's certain things that should be voted on, but this one in particular, I was told that it didn't have to, but they needed to review it before it was submitted.
What the contract says, but if it does say that, then I guess not.
I think we'd like to see them vote so that we understand that everybody's in agreement.
Okay.
Supervisors would like to know that recommission.
Okay. So then we would have to put this on the agenda for next month to get voted on. Okay. So if there are any changes or any comments before we bring it back to the commission for next month for a vote, yes.
I just like a clarification, Norma. Last meeting, you remember, I erroneously brought my own marketing plan for the Goodwill Committee. I didn't realize that you were going to do the this extensive one. I thought it was my responsibility to bring that to you. Am I correct that this will cover everything we need for the Goodwill Committee? I don't need to bring that marketing plan back?
Not well, this would cover for the commission to do either solicit or get donations. In terms of specific programs, such as the Goodwill Committee, the Goodwill Committee can put together a way that you're going to go out and get solicitations or get funding or even delineate these are the needs. But you don't have to give a step-by-step.
Okay.
Because we already have this. We would just have to follow what's in the commission actions section of this document to ensure that when we are soliciting that we're following those steps and that it gets approved through the proper channels before we accept those donations. So you don't have to give us an extensive plan per se, but maybe just here are some of the areas that or businesses that we want to talk to donate plaques. And how many plaques would that be? What would they say? I mean, maybe just the specifics there.
Okay. I think I still need a little more clarification. My assumption was that we would find internal funding, commission funding to do plaques. Am I wrong about that? Are the commissioners on this committee supposed to go out and find our own resources for this program, the Goodwill Committee?
That's what this marketing plan allows you to do. When we spoke about the Goodwill Committee internally, we would be able to do certificates, paper. It's part of what we have.
Right.
But if there's a little bit more that the commission would like to offer, then we would have to refer back to this in order for us to be able to go a little bit above and beyond of that recognition.
Okay.
Yes.
Can we at least frame the certificates?
That's a good question. Can we get a donation for frames? Not sure. We would have to budget. So here's the other thing. I mean, for the Goodwill Committee, I think that's what would be helpful. These are the things that we're thinking. We want frames for the certificates. How much would that cost? Maybe get a small budget going so we see what's something that we might be able to get through the resources as a commission staff, and then what we might need to go out and solicit elsewhere.
Okay.
And I have an ethics question. I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, I wouldn't be asking it. Is it permissible for commissioners to donate if we're supposed to be soliciting donations?
That's a good question. I can't answer that question. I can ask.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Excellent. You have a couple more items.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's still me. Okay. So then we're okay with bringing this back next month for a vote?
Yes.
Thank you. So the second one is in the packet, we included the 2017 hate crimes report. Just as a background, the hate crime report was sent to County of Orange and the Board of Supervisors for review, for vetting. It's a new step that we incorporated since it is in a contract, in the contract responsibilities. And I worked closely with OCCR once this was put together for them to be able to review it and make sure that everything there was compliant. And then even she took it a step further and sent it to the fifth floor to the Board of Supervisors for them to review and approve or even sent changes. So there were very minor revisions to the report, and we finally got the approval from both entities to be able to publish it. So on September 25th, we will be having our hate crime reports launch event. We will send out a flyer this week. Well, Don will send it out by today or tomorrow. Everybody's invited. We have some good speakers. We have a professor from Chapman who's coming out, and someone from the Homeland Security who's going to be part of the panel. So I know that Rabbi is part of that program as well. We will have hard copies, and just so you could see, this is what the hard copy looks like. And I forgot to grab some on my way out to give you to you, but I promise we'll have these for you either at the event or at the next meeting.
Quick question, Norma, have these gone to print yet? Is it a finalized version of this?
This is.
It is, okay. I just wanted to make a note that under where it says examples of hate incidents, the fourth bullet point, painting racist graffiti on a free overpass, that would actually be a hate crime. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, that's not an incident. It's a crime because it involves vandalism.
Defaces, right? Property. Yeah.
On what page, sorry?
It's on page 3, the fourth bullet point. I don't think it's my call to decide whether it's worth reprinting, but I do think it's very clear that that would be a hate crime. I just thought it was worthy of pointing out.
Okay. Thank you for that, Chief. Commissioner Hamill. The distinction for that is it needs to be documented as a hate incident. That's the tricky confusion part about private property versus public property. The freeway overpass is a public domain. So if that would be a graffiti on a temple or a synagogue or any religious or even private property like a driveway, that would be a hate crime, wouldn't be an incident.
Okay, thanks, Donna. Just from law enforcement perspective, if, say, for instance, hypothetically, we caught somebody that was, involved in a graffiti of a free overpass, and they were caught, and it was something that was hateful, we would arrest them, and we would charge them with a crime. And the victim would then be the state of California, or it could be the county, depends on what their property would be. And they could very well be prosecuted. That's why I would just say it was a crime.
Are you suggesting, Don, that if somebody does a swastika on public property, it's a crime, but it's not a hate crime because it's public property? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like a freeway overpass does not, it didn't have a specific targeting group, right?
So it's free speech, but still a crime.
Yes.
I apologize. I understand the distinction now. I know what you're saying now. I get it. I understand. You're right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that, too, because I was under the same impression.
Because there's no person that's a victim.
Right.
Just for the record, it's still hateful.
That's why it's a hate incident.
Still hateful.
Thank you, Don. I'm glad you were here to clarify that. Thank you. I apologize for the for making an issue about it.
So, Don, we'll be sending out a flyer to everybody, and we hope that everybody can join us. And usually we get a good turnout, and the speakers are really going to be amazing. They'll be speaking about the impact and some of just the overall numbers across the state, I think, something like that. So the flyer will be sent out today or tomorrow.
What is that?
Can I ask the chief or anybody else who just understands the mechanics, how do we get graffiti in the middle of the freeway? Don't these people get run over? I just don't understand it. Because I never see anybody painting graffiti there, but then I see it, and I'm like, my gosh, it's got to be fatally dangerous to go there and do that.
Usually it occurs in the middle of the night, and there's a lot of ingenuity on the part of the bad guys when they do that. Sometimes they'll actually use some kind of harness or ropes to lower themselves down.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one, I actually will defer this one to Dr. Carey if there are any updates around the Goodwill program.
Oh, well, we're very anxious to get going on this, and we need to find some resources, financial resources, before we get going, because it's going to cost a little bit of money to get this out in the media. I guess we could begin to market it without having funding. The marketing is ready to go, but it would take a little bit of money just to get it in some of the journals and so forth we were thinking about. We were talking about the business magazines and newspapers and so forth. And just by word of mouth, I've gotten a lot of good response. We might have some nominations already coming in for this. So I don't know. What do you think, committee? Bekele and Michael, what do you think?
I think that it certainly doesn't hurt to get the word out as soon as possible and get people thinking about it.
I have a nomination form, too, that I brought to a meeting several meetings ago, and we could start handing out the nomination form. Does all of this need to go through an approval? No? Okay, good.
We approved the program and designated the ad hoc committee to work through the details.
Okay. You all approved everything I brought that day, which was marketing of the program, not financially, but just
yes.
The marketing of the program and the, what else was there? The marketing, I've forgotten. Anyway, you approved it anyway.
So I would recommend that we, the ad hoc committee, maybe meet with Don prior to kind of sending out the call for nominations, et cetera, since he does have experience in sending out and following the process for nomination for the awards event.
Okay.
So that way we get a good feel, because that's been done for years and it works. So maybe getting that as a model instead of having to recreate the wheel, just figure out what mechanics would work with for this program, mm-hmm. Before we get a launch day, and maybe even just start thinking about when's our launch day, when are we sending the call of nominations, so where are they going, just kind of the logistical side that we would have to think about as we move forward.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Item number 8, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriffs.
I'll just add with regard to the release of the annual hate crime report that we've extended an invitation, as we do every year, to all the police chiefs in the county and encouraged their attendance or their staff's attendance to show support for the work that the commission does.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, next, announcements from commissioners.
Under the No Hate OC?
Hate Free OC?
Sorry. I get confused. Hate Free OC.
We don't want anybody to hate OC either.
That's
so
true. We're going to, my synagogue, screen the Frontline documentary. We have to pick a date, Don. I know I've been neglectful doing that and certainly be under the banner of Hate Free OC and really just try and get the word out there about sort of the history of our county and also the positive things that we're doing to combat and fight against hate in Orange County. So, any other announcements?
Just a comment and a request. All of you commissioners who I know serve on other boards and agencies, if you would look around you and see who might be a good candidate for our Goodwill program, some people have already been recommended to me. I have a list about 5 or 6. And I know you know of the good deeds going on out there. So please send them to me if you have a recommendation.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you for your attendance.
Yep. The next item is just agenda building. Any additional comments for upcoming agenda items?
Anybody? Normal, we'll send out an email to soliciting any items that you want to put on.
And then adjournment.
Do I need a motion for that? The meeting is adjourned.
Yay.
Hey, you got to use the hammer again.
Yay.